This is Sunday afternoon, April 24, 1983. Let me say that many of the things for which we are believing would seem impossible in the natural, but they are very possible with Him. For all things are possible with Him, and all things are also possible to those that believe. I'm going to read a rather familiar passage of Scripture from Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 22nd verse. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now I want to connect this with the subject of the pineal gland. In the recent years, several things have been opened concerning the pineal. In fact, several years ago, I had an article handed me. Somebody wanted me to read it and remark on it. And I took this piece of article and was lying across the bed. And as I read it, or was trying to read it, all of a sudden it was as if the whole thing was blotted out in front of me. And when this happened, he spoke to me and said, the pineal has to do with time and timing. Now, I didn't know too much about the pineal. I knew that it was a gland in the head, but as to its function, I didn't know much at the time, and I still don't know much. In fact, science really knows very little, but they are finding bit by bit more about this little gland in the head that is the shape of a pine cone, and that's where it gets its name, pineal, from a pine cone. And at the time when I was first directed into it, I cried out and I said, Father, you've got to give me some scripture upon which this can be based. I can't just take off with some kind of a revelation without any scripture to base it upon. And as I pondered this, I thought, of course, if it's a pine cone, then what I must do is hunt the scriptures out dealing with coniferous trees or trees that bear cones. And there are several of them in the scriptures. In Hosea 14 and 8, we read concerning Ephraim, I have heard him and observed him. And what does Ephraim say? He said, I am like a green fir tree. That is a coniferous tree. And then the answer from the Most High is, from me is thy fruit found. Now the fruit of the fir tree would be a cone of some kind. And so this, the pine cone, is a fruit that is given of him. And if we are to ever have the pineal gland open, it will have to be a sovereign act of the Most High to bring this thing to pass. In Isaiah 41, 19 and 20, we read, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar. That is a coniferous tree. The shittim tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. The oil tree is a coniferous tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree. That is a coniferous tree. And the pine, which bears the pine cone. And the box tree, which is also coniferous, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. In Isaiah 60 and 13, he talks about the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree. Then in 2 Samuel 6 and 5, it tells how David and the people played on all manner of instruments made of fir wood. In other words, the wood of a coniferous tree. I only mention these, and you can hunt them out further, to show you that there is a key in the scriptures that deals with the pineal. But I want to go further than that today, because there is some information that has come out now concerning concerning the pineal, and I want to go into that. Now, we read this scripture that the light of the body, or the lamp of the body, is the eye. Notice it is singular. It is not plural. It does not say eyes. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, or thy whole body shall be illuminated. Now, it is very interesting in this scripture that the word for light, and the light of the body is the eye. That is the word lamp, lampnos in the Greek. And it means a vessel that contains oil and a wick. For where it says, thy body shall be full of light, the word there is photonos, which means it shall be lighted or suffused with light. As for the word body in the Greek, it is the word soma. And this is an interesting word. It's translated body. But the root of the word means to save, to heal, to protect. From the same root, we get the word savior and salvation. Now, to me, this speaks volumes that this body is in the process of coming into its salvation. We've talked about the salvation of the soul, and that certainly has its place. But we are coming now to the time when we need to know more about the salvation and the change of the body. If your eye be single, then your eye is like a lamp, and your whole body becomes suffused with light or becomes lighted. Now, what does this eye refer to? Now, we would say, well, it refers to our physical eyes. It refers to more than that. It is a singular eye. Not two, but one. Now, the ancient mystics have called the pineal gland the third eye. Be that as it may, I do know that in certain animals, and even in reptiles, that they have a pineal that is considered a pineal eye, and that is very sensitive, and by which they detect many things. If this be true in the lower forms of life, why would it not be greater in we who are made in his image and likeness? Of course it is true. And so we'll consider the pineal as being an eye. And if thine eye be single, or it means if you don't have double vision, and if your eye is single unto him, then your whole body is going to be filled with light. It's going to be lighted. It's going to be suffused with light. And the body, the word from which it comes, meaning salvation and healing and protection and even savior and even salvation, then that body becomes what it was originally intended to be. And only then can the scripture be fulfilled where it says, saviors shall arise upon Mount Zion. You cannot be a savior until first you have been fully saved, and that takes in the body. This is the third part of our great salvation. Our spirits have been saved. Our souls or our minds have been in the process of having salvation outworked. And now it is time for the body to come into the place where it is filled with light. Now, going to some of the scientific material concerning the pineal. The pineal is activated by sunlight. You say, how does it activate the pineal? The optic nerve of the eyes picks up the light, and I'm not talking about artificial light. I am talking about pure, natural, unfiltered sunlight. And we live in such an artificial world where so many people wear glasses, wear sunglasses, have their homes enclosed with glass, their cars are enclosed with glass. People don't get out into the sunlight as they ought to get out into it. But the pineal is affected deeply by pure, unfiltered sunlight. And the best time is the early morning sunlight. The middle of the day, the heat becomes extreme. But this pure sunlight goes in through the optic nerves, affects the pineal gland, and the pineal in turn produces certain hormones that affect the hypothalamus, which in turn affects the pituitary. So one thing affects the other, And it's just chain reaction from one thing to another. Now, sunlight is electromagnetic energy. And when the pineal is affected by the electric magnetic energy, it converts that energy into electrical chemical impulses that go then to the hypothalamus and on to the pituitary gland. And I would like to say further that they know, that science now knows, that there are neurochemicals, in other words, chemicals that affect the neurological system, that can only be brought to pass by this means. Sunlight entering the eye, going by the optic nerve to the pineal, from the pineal to the hypothalamus, and from the hypothalamus to the pituitary, and so forth. All right, now from the biochemical standpoint, there is a substance that is created in the pineal gland, and that substance is known as melatonin. Now, I don't guarantee the correct scientific pronunciation of things, but I'll give it to you as best I can. And this melatonin is formed by the use of serotonin. It takes place in the presence of a certain enzyme in the pineal gland. And then it goes on to transmit into the rest of the body. Now, mind you, this takes place as a result of pure, unfiltered sunlight coming into the body. Now, I am speaking from the natural. Let's take the spiritual angle of this. The scripture says that he is a sun and a shield. It also says the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Now, we know that this is a spiritual application, and yet we know that he is light. He is the one that gave the sunlight in the first place. And so he is light himself. And spiritually speaking, we take in him as the penetrating forces of spirit, light, and it comes in and it affects the pineal gland. And it brings forth in the body certain effects due to the effect on the pineal gland. All right, what about this? Let's touch on a thing or two here. We know that the pineal affects the nerves because of what is created in it. Has there ever been a time when the nerves of people have been so ravished, so torn, so shattered, so on edge as they are now? Yet it is the nerves that carry the messages from the brain to all parts of the body. And we have come to a time when there must be divine intervention to resolve the nerve problems that are plaguing most of the people. And I'm sure that those that are pressing in to the fullness and desiring that light and life be manifest in the body are being ravished in their nerves as never before. There are times when it seems to me the drop of a pin would shatter my nerve into a million pieces. And I'm no different than you are. And you're no different than I am. We're all going through this thing. But there is to be a remedying of this situation. This body is to be filled with light and with light. And it's going to be channeled out through the pineal that is affected by the Spirit of the Most High entering in as light into our being. And as it comes in and we are changed in the pineal, so also the body is changed. Not only does it affect the nerves, but the pineal is a regulator of the cycles of our body in a 24-hour period. There's a certain name, I think they call it the circadian rhythm of the body. And it affects our waking and sleeping patterns. And when it gets dark at night, the pineal begins to activate in a different way than it does in the daytime. Now, I'd like to say this. While you sleep, the pineal is more active than when you're awake.
In fact, they have found that it is 15 times more energetic and active when you are asleep than when you are awake. Now, what does this mean? Well, while you're asleep, it puts out the hormones that are necessary to totally relax the body, that the body might be refreshed as never before. Let me connect this with what is going on now. There is, shall I call it, a heaviness, a sleepiness, a weariness that is taking hold of so many people. And they keep saying, I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm tired all the time. It seems like I can't get one foot ahead of the other. There is such a pressure and such a desire to just lay down and go to sleep all the time. Why? It is because the pineal is more active in sleep than in waking hours. And we are going through this period when all of our bodies want to just sleep and rest because the body is refreshed at a time like this. Don't be disturbed because of this oversleepiness, overtiredness, overweariness. It is symbolic that we are undergoing a change where the pineal is becoming 15 times more active than when we are awake and doing and energetic in ourselves. Oh no, we can't just lay down and sleep 24 hours a day. That is impossible. But we are going through the experience of sleeping on our feet. And it is a weird thing. I have wondered what in the world was the matter with me. Now I'm beginning to see it's a part of the activation of the pineal gland. Now that figure 15 is very, very interesting. It has much to do with life because you find Hezekiah had 15 years of life added to him. There are several things that are connected with that number 15. It's a very important number in the scriptures. If you're interested and you don't have it, write and ask for the tape on 15 years, and that will explain a lot of it. At any rate, it is 15 times more active when the body is sleeping. And while the body is sleeping, you find that several things begin to take place within the body. There is a vivid, I don't want to call it mental pictures, but the dreams become very vivid due to the sleep of the body and the activation of the pineal gland. Besides that, it brings about an hemostatic equilibrium in our bodies. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the hemostatic has to do with the blood. And certainly our blood has been sorely affected by the condition in which the people have fallen into, from Adam on down. The blood has been sorely affected. But now we are coming to the time when he is bringing an equilibrium into the blood where there is a total balance in the bloodstream. And the scripture speaks of innocent blood. I believe we are coming to that point where in our bloodstream there is nothing but innocence, and therefore there cannot be death in the bloodstream. And life is permeated out through the bloodstream. I would like to say that blood is congealed light. And as the blood is changed and totally brought into equalization, it will eventually, not overnight, but it will eventually return to the state of light. Now, this substance of which I have spoken, this melatonin, was first found and identified in 1958. Now, I believe that is very significant. For along in 1957 and 1958 was the beginning of the space age, or man moving out of the Earth realm into the outer reaches of space. Now, what happens in the natural is symbolic of what is happening in the spiritual. And we have been in the process of moving out of a pure earth realm
into a limitlessness that we have never known before. And this is all tied in with the finding and recognizing and identifying of the substance in the pineal gland. Now, speaking of light, if you take a prism and run sunlight through a prism, you come out with 7 colors, the colors of the rainbow. It breaks up into these various colors. Light has 2 essential components, color and sound. You say, but light doesn't have sound. Oh, yes, it does, because every color has a certain vibration. And every sound has a certain vibration. And so the vibration of the various colors of the sunlight also has the same vibratorial sound wave, which in itself is significant. Now, as we go further, let me say this, that the color of sunlight, get it, the color of sunlight comes under the key of D. We even have the vitamin D, which is the energy from the sun. And without vitamin D, you can't absorb calcium and all the other things that are necessary in your body. If they call this the tone color, the color D. And by the way, A, B, C, D is the 4th letter of the alphabet. And I don't care whether you figure it in the English, in the Greek, in the Hebrew, it is the 4th letter. And we've been dealing in the writings lately with the significance of that number 4, which has to do with worldwide coverage, but a lot of other things also. And so the tone color of sunlight is D. It is the key of D. And anything written in the key of D is a joyful melody. Now, they have proven this scientifically. For instance, you have Beethoven's Ode of Joy. It is written in the key of D. There are some others. There's one that is called Canon in D, which is another joyful song. D, vitamin D, the key of D, it all has to do with a joy. And did he not say, the joy of Yahweh is your strength? Of course, and we have been around in the muck and mire of weakness and weariness and wondering what to do about it. We need to move in to the sunlight of His presence, where there is joy in abundance. In His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We are moving into an entirely different realm, and we're going to be able to recognize colors, sounds, all of the things that go with bringing about a total change within us. Now, I would like to say this, that in the pineal, there are crystals. In fact, they say that the pineal is full of crystals. Of what is this indicative? Not long ago, I had a book sent to me called Awesome Force. And I'll tell you, some of it is clear over my head. It is so scientific. And sometimes to read one page, it takes a long time, and you have to keep going back and going back and reading it over until you can grasp the depth of what is brought forth in this book. But I came upon one part that spoke about the power in crystals. And this man tells how that crystal formation is laid up layer upon layer upon layer of parallel layers, they are, of atoms and molecules and soft electrons and soft particles. Now, I'm not much of a scientist, but it is laid up in these parallel layers. And there is, between the rows of the atoms and molecules, there is a tremendous amount of free energy. And this free energy, and I like the word free, this free energy is so great that it is absolutely unlimited. As it is drawn out of crystals, it is immediately replaced. And there is just no end to it. It is totally limitless there. Now, the scripture does have some things to say about crystals. It talks about the terrible crystal in the book of Ezekiel. And I'm sure that there is more involved in it than most of us have realized. What about the stones that were in the breastplate of the high priest? They were crystalline substances. And perhaps out of them, by some way, they were activated. I don't understand it all. They were activated, and there was a power and a releasing of the power that was in these crystals. They say that there is no end of electrical energy in a crystal. You could take a crystal that is a foot long, if you could get one that big, and it would go on for 10 years just taking out 100 volts at a time, and it would go on continuously for at least 10 years. But as soon as it is taken out, it is immediately replaced again, so that it just keeps on flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. Now, if this be true in the scientific realm, and man is trying to tap in to this electrical energy in crystal, what must the pineal be like when it is filled with crystals? It would mean that there was absolutely no limit to the power that could be given forth. Excuse me. We not only are coming into changes, we are coming into the scientific knowledge of how the changes occur. Surely he does not expect us to be a bunch of ignoramuses, but he expects us to be filled with knowledge that shall astound the natural scientists. We are going to be able to give knowledge to them that they know nothing whatsoever about. And there will be knowledge in every realm. It doesn't make any difference what it is. In mathematical realms, in medical realms, in chemistry realms, it doesn't make any difference what it is. There is going to be a flowing of knowledge that shall astound them. We are going to be called before men of science, and we will be propounded questions, and we shall have the answers. If our elder brother at 12 years of age could sit in front of the learned men of his day and answer questions that made them scratch their heads, what do you think that we, as the sons and the daughters of the Most High, are going to do as we are called in before men of science? We are going to have answers. Why? Because the pineal will be fully open. The crystals will be activated by the light that he is, and there shall be a tremendous flow of knowledge and a tremendous flow of energy to put that knowledge into action. I want to stop at this point and turn the tape over, and you do likewise with yours. One doctor has been experimenting with what he calls a crystal pattern. In fact, he has a word for it. He calls it crystal vision. And as long as we're dealing with crystals, we might as well consider this too. He takes the natural basic design of a snowflake, which is a crystal. And with this pattern, which he calls a mandelic pattern, he uses this to calm down distressed people and to bring their minds into a quiet state of rest. Now, with this crystal pattern of the snowflake and the music that corresponds with the vibrations of the different colors of light, they are able, now they are finding this in science realm, they are finding that they can change the association pattern and the memory pattern of the subconscious mind. Now, all of your memories are in the subconscious, and when you bring them to mind, you bring them out of the subconscious mind and into the conscious mind. People are so distressed with certain memory patterns and association patterns that their whole lives are in shambles. The mind needs to be changed. In fact, does not the scripture say that we are transformed by the renewing of the mind, the making new of the mind? Thus we are transformed. And that word transformed means just what it means. Transformed or transfigured or changed, and it takes in the physical body. All of us have association patterns and memory patterns that it seems like our mind drops into a groove and we can't get out of the rut of the way that we think. And there needs to be a total renovation of all of the subconscious mind and the memory and the association patterns that we have that are stored in our subconscious mind. How we would like to be rid of them. I've had things in my life that have, through the years, have plagued me, and they spring out of the subconscious mind. But we are coming now to a time when we are being changed, marvelously, mightily changed, again by crystal forms, again by the crystals in the pineal, affected by the pure light of His divine presence that brings about changes in the mind. Oh, how we would like to get rid of the old thought patterns. They just fall into a groove, and they run like a record that is stuck in a groove. But there is a way of changing it. There is a way of clearing out the subconscious mind. And it comes by the activation of the pineal gland, crystal substance, along with the vibration of the colors of light that correspond to the vibrations of music in its different keys and its different tones. There is nothing like true harmonic music to change a person. And our adversary knows it, and he's used it in reverse to use all of the devilish music that is in the world today. And it is changing the minds of our young people in particular into a negative way. But we are moving into a realm where the old patterns of thinking are being blotted out. They're being erased. The old memories are being taken out and removed out of the way. Oh, how we cry out for this as never before. And we are standing teetering this day on the verge of entering into certain, shall I call it experiences? Maybe I ought to call it realities, where the mind is changed and the body begins to be suffused with light and with life and with the fullness of energy and power. It needs, must be. See, we cannot proceed without the physical change. And the physical change cannot take place without the mental change. And the mental change cannot take place without the activity of the light and life of the Most High. Oh, dear ones, be encouraged. I know it seems at this time there is confusion within and without. And every change, whether it's within or without, is preceded by confusion and things you do not understand. But I promise you, I assure you, that the time is nigh when the physical body is going to correspond to the change in our minds. And we're going to be amazed. We shall become as fleet of foot as the rose upon the mountain. We shall become as agile as the deers and the antelope. We shall become motivated and energized by the light that floods from the top of the head clear through to the soles of the feet. Have you ever thought about the few scriptures there are about the blessings upon the top of the head? There's a difference between the blessings on the head and the blessings on the top of the head. The top of the head is the cerebrum, the seat of intelligence. Then at the back you have the cerebellum, and below that you have the medulla oblongata. And it is at the lower part of the cerebrum, or the seat of intelligence, that you find the pineal gland. It is the blessing upon the top of the head that brings forth great and tremendous changes in the whole being. And not only is it going to affect you, but you are going to cause reactions in other people, and they are going to respond to the reality of the knowledge and the energy and the power that is in you and the change that is in your being. I would like to say this, that basically everything is made up of electromagnetic force. The body is made up of atoms and electromagnetic force. Is it any wonder then that as the pineal is changed, the mind is changed, the old thought patterns are changed, that the body, the atoms of the body become changed, and there is a release of that electromagnetic force that is in us. It is there. It just needs to be released and set free that it might become a reality in each one of us. We are in the time of change. It isn't happening instantaneously, not in the twinkling of an eye, as we have been taught. But it is happening in a moment, which is really the word atom. It is happening in our atoms. Now, it may well be that each atom is changed in the twinkling of an eye. But there are so many atoms in our beings to be changed that it may take quite a period of time. But without contradiction and without doubt, we are already starting into this change. On the 22nd of January, the Spirit spoke to me and said, "You have just begun. Something has just started. And the start is not the fulfillment, but it is the beginning of it. We are moving into another dimension. We have stepped into another time. We may not fully understand it yet, but we are there. Let the old thought patterns go. Let the old memories go. I believe that we have come to a time when there is no yesterday. It's gone. The memories of it are gone. We are being changed into a different kind of a being." I'd like to add this. So many are talking about the glorification of the body, which I believe. But glorification isn't reached at one bound. What we really desire now is the redemption of the body, the loosing away of the body. This may disagree or contradict your particular element of theology regarding the body that Christ had after his resurrection. Remember, redemption had not been paid for until he went to the cross, until he gave up the spirit, until he died, and then he went into the bowels of the earth. Then was redemption paid for. Then would he have had a redeemed body before that? I think not. I am sure that he had a redeemed body after the resurrection. It does not speak of him as being glowingly radiant like it did on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was showing them the kingdom coming in power at that time. But after his resurrection, he didn't show that kind of a thing. Oh, he could appear and disappear. He could appear as a stranger. He could appear as a gardener, and so on, And this is what we're after, is the redemption of the body. And this is what all creation is groaning for, is to see the redemption and the adoption. The redemption of the body is the adoption. As for glorification, it says we shall be glorified together with him, which infers that he is not in the fullness of his glory yet, if we're to be glorified with him. Oh yes, redemption is the beginning of glorification, but it is not the fullness of it. Only ages ahead of us have many glorious and wonderful things yet to be revealed. But let's take this step, which is the redemption of the body, where the light is filtered through the pineal gland. Even the light of his presence comes on through, changes our thinking, wipes out yesterday, wipes out the memories, wipes out the negative thought patterns, and works a work of great redemption in the body until the light becomes manifest in the body. In closing, I would like to read to you a little bit that came in a letter the other day. There's a lady by the name of Emma Kustra. She didn't know much about the pineal gland, and she wrote and asked me about it. Anyway, she began to do a little hunting on her own. And she said, I looked up in the regular dictionary and found pineal gland has two synonyms. The Greek word is epiphysis, which means epi, which means over or above or upon or superimposed upon. And the physis is the Greek word from which we get physics or physical. So the pineal, in other words, is something that is above the natural, above the physical, and takes preeminence over it, takes dominion over it, and brings it into obeyance to the will of our Father. Then she found another word, and I tried to find something more on that, the word canarium. But it also means pine-shaped, dealing with the pineal gland. It is a pine-shaped gland in the head. Then she went on further. She said, I thought I'll see what or whether any names or words in Smith's Bible Dictionary are related. I found that on the temple parapets or tops, the architects had placed what is called pinnacles, sort of flagstaff, with cone-shaped finials to keep birds of the air and area from roosting, nesting, and fouling the area below. Oh, how interesting! There were pine cones upon the pinnials to keep the birds away and to keep them from fouling things up. We know that the birds of the air have to do with the spirits that are in the heavenlies. And there are plenty of them around. And surely we, as the temples of the Most High, needs must have our pine cone that will keep the fouling birds of the air from messing things up. Oh, I like that. But you know, I thought that's interesting. You know, the devil took Yahshua, our Messiah, to the pinnacle of the temple. He took him up to the pine cone shape that was on the pinnacle. And he said, now, you just cast yourself down now, and he will give his angels charge over you so that you won't be hurt. And everybody will look up and say, oh, wonderful. He cast himself down, and he wasn't destroyed. Don't think our adversary isn't trying to get us to do foolish things from the realm of the pineal gland. But our Savior recognized, and he cast him back with a word of authority, and we must needs do the same thing ourselves. We cannot go into Eastern religions that deal with the pineal. They're coming at it from an entirely different angle. We needs must walk in the realm of the Spirit and walk in the realm of truth. And as we do, the birds of the air will be cast off from the pine cone of our being, and we shall walk in perfect light and liberty and fullness of light. And the city that is set on a hill will not be able to hide itself. We are being set up in a high place. Not in pride, oh no. But if there is the El Elyon, which means the Most High, it stands to reason there have to be other high ones, or he could not be the Most High. This is not with pride. In fact, it humbles you to think that there is a company of high ones over which he is the Most High. And at the top of their being is the pine-shaped cone that will keep the fowls of the air from coming around to foul things up. This has been spoken hesitatingly. It's certainly not the fullness of knowledge, but I do pray that the Spirit of the Most High will quicken it to you, fill out the places that I have not filled in, and cause the truth to become a reality to you as never before. Great grace be upon you. This is a new day. Rejoice that you are a part of it. Thank you.